Hey there, it's David. When I was young, my family had a pontoon boat on Cheat Lake in West Virginia. Every summer we would spend weekends on that lake, on that boat. I'm the baby of the family, thus my sister and brother were both very competent swimmers. They knew how to swim and they had the courage and the faith to do cool things like water ski. When we would tie up to an old dead tree that was sticking up out of the lake in our favorite little private lagoon, they would swim around and play on a raft. But not me. I would simply sit on the side of the boat and dangle my feet in the water. I dangled. I didn't swim. I was afraid. My sister and brother would urge me, encourage me, tease me, and even sometimes try to tempt me to get into the water. I don't blame them or accuse them of anything in telling you this story. I know that all they wanted for me was to experience the pure pleasure that they took for granted of swimming on a nice hot summer afternoon. Well, for whatever reason, I wasn't having it. No matter how much they coached or cajoled, I just wouldn't get into the water. So, one day, my sister hatched a plan. She could see that I was becoming more and more interested and curious about swimming, a fact that she used against me. Well, she used it to help me, but as I tell this story, you'll understand why I initially felt as if she used it against me. I mentioned earlier that we had a raft. Well, one beautiful sunny afternoon, while our boat was tied to that old dead tree that was sticking up out of the lake in our favorite little private lagoon, I once again dangled off the side of the boat. My sister brought the raft over to me and invited me to get on so that she could pull me around. I could be in the water, playing with my sister and brother, and still be safely floating on the top of that big raft. It seemed to me at that moment to be a win-win. I knew that it wasn't yet swimming, but I knew that it was one step closer than simply dangling my feet off the side of the boat. So I reluctantly agreed. My sister helped me slide off the side of the boat and onto the raft. She then pulled me away from the boat. It was glorious. I felt so free. I was out there all on my own. Well, I bet you can see where this is going. As I was feeling all full of that moment, my sister let go of the raft and swam back to the boat. There I was, all by myself, floating on a raft, too far from the boat to do anything but swim. I was obviously too young and way too paralyzed by fear to realize that all I actually needed to do was paddle the raft back to the boat. Well, it became obvious in that moment that everyone in my family was in on this cruel joke, for everyone was standing on the boat and encouraging me to jump off the raft and swim. Encouragement that I ignored. I protested, I begged, I cried, but to no avail. I realized that if I was going to be saved, if I was going to get back to the boat, back to my family, I was going to have to take the plunge, literally. I was going to have to get off that raft and swim. Now, I'd been taught how to swim, but to my young mind, swimming at the local pool was very different than swimming in a big lake. But there I was, slowly but surely drifting away on that raft, sure to be lost to the wilds forever if I didn't do something, if I didn't get off that raft and into the water. So, I went for it. I mustered up every ounce of courage I had and I jumped off that raft. I violently thrashed my arms and legs in the water until my swimming lessons came back to me and I started to swim. My family was cheering for me and praising me, and I made it back to the boat, to the loving arms of my family. From that point on, you couldn't keep me out of the water. You see, up to that point, I knew I could do the act of swimming. I needed my family, especially my sister, to put me in a situation where I could actually be a swimmer. Was it a fun process? No. Was I mad at my sister for tricking me? Yes. Was it the best way to get me past myself and my fears and to be a swimmer? Yes. Well, today we're going to discuss the fact that you can't do salvation. You and I, everyone who has ever been and will ever be, must be saved. And this fact is the very reason why God made the choice to get us out on a raft and trick us into becoming swimmers. I mean, God came and dwelt among us as one of us so that we could all learn what it means to be saved. Let's go island hopping. Didn't need to come and live among us as Jesus in order to save us. God could have simply spoke the words, "Let them be saved," and we would have been saved. After all, in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We needed God to come and live as one of us so that we would learn what it means to be saved. We needed God to meet us on our terms, to walk with us in order to understand what it means to be saved. God couldn't simply do our salvation by speaking it into existence, for that would have robbed us of the precious gift of free will. We have to learn how to be saved so that we can make the choice to want to be saved. The stage has been set, the pump has been primed. We realize that we need something, that we have a hole in our lives that we haven't been able to fill on our own. And we accept that there is a God and that we matter to God. With all that as our foundation, God then comes in the person of Jesus so that we can see a living, breathing, human example of what it means to live as someone who has been saved. Let's face it, only through the realization that there is a God who truly understands about every aspect of being human could your want to, my want to, anyone's want to ever be transformed. For nobody cares how much someone knows until they know how much someone cares. And God coming to live with us as one of us is the ultimate sign of caring. And Jesus did this not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Now you're invited to believe in Jesus because you want to. Because of Jesus, we know we have a God who knows what it's like to be human. We have a God who knows what it's like to be hungry, to be thirsty, to be hurt, to be betrayed, to be happy, to be angry, to be disappointed, and to be tempted. Because of Jesus, we have a God who knows what it's like to face death, and a God who knows what it's like to die. God became one of us because God knew that being one of us was the only way that any of us would ever make the choice to want to be saved. In response to this realization, it's time for you to decide. This island is all about the question, do I want to follow Jesus or not? Nobody can take this step for you. No one can make this decision for you, for this decision isn't a have to. Regardless of what anyone else has told you. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You're invited to want to believe in Jesus. For living in your want to is powerful. And this island, this invitation, is the most powerful step that you can ever take in your life. But why Jesus? If God is all powerful and can create the universe simply by speaking it into existence, why does salvation have to come through Jesus? Why didn't God simply say, "Let them be saved"? Why is it that a right relationship with God can only come via such a narrow road? These questions are essential, and to answer them, I want to first redirect you to the previous two islands. Everyone has a hunger for something more. Everyone has a hole in their lives that they're trying to fill on their own in order to find peace, meaning, wholeness, and forgiveness through something or someone. This hole exists because every human being has been created in the image of God. Every human being knows that there's something more to this thing we call life. Yet, every human being is separated from God because of sin. And this separation creates a God-shaped hole in all of our lives. Now, a majority of people in the world believe there's a God in one way, shape, or form. We believe that there is a divine creator and ruler. We believe this because we have all been created in the image of God. We all understand deep down in places that you might not like to talk about that there's something so much bigger out there, somewhere. Thus, your next challenge is to believe that you matter to this very same God, to believe that God cares about little old you, to understand that you've been fearfully and wonderfully made, to understand that you're right here, right now, for a reason. You weren't born in the 1800s in Australia. Thus, your life's journey is to be who God has created you to be. And who is that exactly? I don't know. But God does. Now, combine all of this with the fact that all of humanity is separated from God because of sin. Thus, there isn't a way to have a right relationship with God all on your own. You'll never truly discover who you were meant to be all on your own. All you can do is simply take stabs in the dark and hope everything works out. Because of this reality, the stage has been set for an all-loving God to offer a way out for all of us. A way for all people to have a right relationship with God. A way for all people to overcome sin. Yes, the way out could have been God simply saying they're saved. But let's be honest, where would the power be in that? When was the last time you were given anything without any choice on your part that made you more powerful? The old saying is true. Give someone a fish and you will feed them for a day. Teach someone how to fish and you'll feed them for a lifetime. The difference is possibility. The freedom that every single person experiences when given the gift of choice. The choice to want to. To want to fish, to want to believe, to want to swim. For power can only be found and realized by choice. No choice, no power. Without choice, we're all reduced to AI. We're simply living out our programming. In response to sin, God had to offer salvation to the world. God had to offer the choice of a way out, a choice of how to be saved. If not, then God's nature would be truly vindictive and malicious. And that's not a picture of a God to which you matter. Yet, at the same time, because we're all created in the image of God, this gift had to be opened of our own free will. So, let's be real. No matter how God decided to show us how to be saved, we would have found some reason to dispute it, question it, and even deny it. For that's what it means to be human. That's what it means to be created in the image of God, the ability to make our own choices. Let me give you an example. How many of you would like to have a 3-day weekend every week? This new weekend would be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. My guess is that the majority of you would be all over that possibility. Well, let me ask you another question. This one is going to require you to be a bit more transparent and honest with yourself. How long do you think it would take for Tuesday to become your new Monday, a day to be dreaded? You might not like that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You might not agree with God's decision to come and dwell among us as Jesus in order for us to learn how to be saved. Yet, if you're honest, whatever way God decided to show us how to be saved, you would have found some kind of problem. You'd find some way to doubt it or deny it. Not because it isn't true, but because you've been created in the image of God and you have the free will of choice, the power and possibility of wanting to, as opposed to the oppression of have to. Jesus was called Emmanuel by the angel Gabriel when he came to Mary and shared with her what was about to happen in her life. This name literally means God with us. So, Jesus is God who came to earth to pay the price, to overcome the death that was our sin debt, and to offer us salvation through a right relationship with God. In other words, Jesus came to show us how to be saved. 4, sin separates us from God, and separation from God means death. Not just death like your heart stops beating or you stop breathing, but death like you'll never fully experience the life that God intended for you. Salvation is a gift that has been given to each one of us through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Yet, a gift, if unopened, is nothing more than a beautifully wrapped box. God has also given us the gift of free will, the ability to say, no thank you. It's up to each and every single one of us to want to open the gift of salvation that we've all been given. It's this choice that is powerful. And it's the reality of the power of choice that makes salvation through faith in Jesus necessary. There's power and love in the freedom and possibility of want to. God loves you so much that they've made the choice to offer you the gift of salvation. But God also loves you so much that they've left the want to of opening that gift up to you. When you make the choice, when you decide that you want to be saved, you own that decision. The decision becomes who you are and not simply something that you do. God does not and will not force anyone to be saved, even though God desires for all to be saved. For God didn't create puppets, people whose every movements are controlled. God wants a relationship with you with no strings attached. God wants to be in relationship with people who want to be saved, people who want to be in an intimate, personal relationship with God. This want to is why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This is why we needed God to come as Jesus, so that we would learn what it means to be saved, and so that we would have the choice to want to be saved. Now, God wants you to be saved. God doesn't want to simply do your salvation. There's a big difference. Being saved is a want to. It's a choice, a way of life, as opposed to a have to, a duty to be performed, or a task to be accomplished. Two previous islands have led you to this island, and to making the choice to commit your life to the care and control of Jesus. The islands that follow will guide you into what this want to looks like for your life. They will help you define your being as a follower of Jesus. Right now, don't worry about having everything figured out. All you want to have figured out up to this point is that you need something, that there is a God, that you matter to God, and that you want to be saved. Committing your life and your will to the care and control of Jesus is merely the way for you to truly discover who you are, a way for you to figure everything out. This discovery will fill that God-shaped hole in your life forever. So, until next time, when we will examine the faith that it requires to simply live life, let alone follow Jesus, I invite you to dwell on your want to's. Think back over your life and remember all the things that you did, the risks that you took, because you wanted to.
Hey there, it's Michelle. Island Hopping is a production of Journey to Be Ministries and is sponsored by Beneva Christian Church in Sarasota, Florida. You can find Beneva Christian on YouTube and Facebook, as well as on their website, BenevaChristian.com. If you would like to reach out to my husband, just drop him an email at islandhoppingpodcast@gmail.com.